This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم وقال تعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters who are listening, we've come here closely together for a few moments to discuss one of the most important individuals in our lives. Allah Azza wa Jal is the being that is most important. After that, it is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the importance of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is such that if only you visit and you can only see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through the eyes of the Sahaba, you can only listen to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through the ears of the Sahaba, you can only feel the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the hearts of the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. What do you say? Radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with them. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, when they started off with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each person starts in a different way. But the thing with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, certain people, you know, when you see their face. Certain people, when you see their face is such, the body composure is such, the height of the person is such, the blessed spirituality on the face is such, the actual glowing illumination of the person is such, the gentleness and the kindness is such, that you automatically feel that this person is a very important person. This person is a beloved person. And this, I'm not even talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yet. I'm talking about his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. When a king comes from outside of Yemen with rage, he comes with his entire rage that his church in Yemen, Sana'a Yemen, has been defecated by a Qurayshi, by an Arab. He comes with an army of elephants, and imagine taking elephants through the whole of the desert of Arabia just to come to Makkah al-Mukarramah to destroy the Kaaba. When a king comes with such hatred, such anger, such things inside that he wants to take out, rip out every Arab if he can, and he comes to Makkah Mukarramah, he's ready with his elephants, and he sees the face of the grandfather of Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sees him, and Abraha, the king, comes off his camel onto the ground. This is the face of who? Of the one who is going to be with the grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he sees him, he's in awe of this man. When he sees him for a moment, his anger is dispersed. When he sees him, he says to him, "What can I do for you?" And at that moment, the grandfather Abdul Muttalib of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "I've heard you've taken 200 camels." Abraha said, "Yes." He said, "Well, those 200 camels, they belong to me." Abraha said, "I thought you were in, looking at your face, looking at who you are, I thought you were an intelligent man. I've come here to destroy the Kaaba, and you are asking me about your camels." Abdul Muttalib then said, the grandfather of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, "Lil bayti rabbun, ana rabbul ibli wa lil bayti rabbu." I am the one who is the landlord, the one who is the owner of the camels. But the house has got its owner, he will protect his house. You have come to me, I have come to you. I will only discuss with you the camels that I own. I have no protection over that house. The one who protects that house, he is the one who will protect it today. With that, the anger of Abraha was doubled. Acha, beta, dehai tamara acha. Bahor beta, nani? Dehai tamara isko. Bahor beta, dehune isko. With that, Abraha's anger went double. So what did he do? He charged. When he charged, what happened? Allah Azza wa Jal, he reveals the surah which gives the... This surah is so important. You know why it's important? Without this surah, there was no reference of when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. Without this surah, there's no reference. Because that time, there's no one collecting hadith. That time, you know, when you go to Bangladesh, you say, you know, your dad, yeah, when he came over, your granddad, when he came over, they all came over, they all were born on the 1st of January. Do you know that? No one knew the actual date of birth. Kita lekhtamba, what should I write? 1940, put 1-1. They all born in first. I'm surprised. They all born on 1st of January. I'm so surprised. None of these guys, British communists, none of them, you know, hassled them. But anyway, they never knew the birth of who was who. But this surah gives the birth of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, O Prophet, أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. O Prophet, didn't you see how your Lord, your Allah, dealt with the ones who came with the elephants to my house? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Isn't it the case that I, as Allah, I made all the plots go down, plots go to nothing, فِي تَضْلِيلٍ, to entire waste. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. As the honor of Abdul Muttalib was to be given, through the honor of Abdul Muttalib would gain the honor of Abdullah, will gain the honor of Hamza, will gain the honor of all the uncles of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through that, the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be brought up. Allah says, وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. I sent such birds from the sky that they only had little pebbles in their mouths. What can these pebbles do? Allah says, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Everything they came with their plans, I brought it to destruction with a few pebbles, few small pebbles. Allah with a few small pebbles. How? When those pebbles came down, my brothers and sisters, when they came down, they're supposed to come down and just land on the ground. Allah Azza wa Jal, to raise the status of Abdul Muttalib, to raise the status of Abdullah, his father, to raise the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah made those stones and those small pebbles come down from the sky like bullets onto the ground. Allah made those elephants have come, reduce them to the ground, the stone came onto their heads, went right through their heads, up, down, from down, down, coming from their throats, and the elephants fell onto the ground. The army of Abraha was left onto the whole plains like scattered moths. They were left there. Allah gave the status to who? Abdul Muttalib. After this, what happened is, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he comes to the Kaaba. Now they say, Huzur, Huzur, ha konu boka ya? Huzur, sultanu boka. They put him, you know where? They put him into the, you know, the shade of the Kaaba. They used to give him a spot there. This was Abdul. And that year, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. That year, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from then on, for a good few years, he used to come and he used to sit in the lap of his dadaji. You know, his dada, his grandfather, he used to sleep on his lap. And Abdul Muttalib has so much love for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to call him over, make him sit next to him in the shade of the Kaaba. Who gave that izzah? Who gave him that dignity? Allah Azza wa Jal gave that. When our Prophet was born, he came to the earth. No one was there to take him. He had lost his father. He only had his mother. All the people who came from outside, they took a baby with them, because with that in return they would get some money. Nobody was taking Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because there was no father to pay them. They all looked at him, they said, that child, nah. Allah wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to drink from the milk of Halima radiyallahu anha. Allah had reserved that milk in Halima radiyallahu anha. Allah wanted to give that milk to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah sends Halima. Halima comes and says, when I looked at that boy, I thought, I haven't got any other boy. I only have got this one boy who's left here. Oh, my husband, let us take this child with ourselves. We haven't got any other boy left. All the other boys have been taken away. Halima radiallahu anha, she says, no sooner did I take that child in my arms, no sooner did I take him to my caravan, no sooner did I take him, that before I didn't have any milk for my own child, Abdullah. Now I had enough milk for this little child and Abdullah as well. Now I have milk for Abdullah, for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before all the women said, oh Halima, Halima, quickly hurry up, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your donkey? Because her donkey was slow. No sooner did I take that child, that my donkey got this energy it never had before. My donkey was the fastest donkey back to Saadiyya. The other women said, oh Halima, is this the same donkey that you brought? I said, of course it is. Now my donkey was the fastest donkey out of all the donkeys, out of all the camels, out of all the conveyances. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is showing who is Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhireen. Who is the leader of the first and the last? Allah is showing who is the Sayyid, the leader of all the jinns and the humans and the ins and all those who are on the earth. Allah is going to show that. Halima radiallahu anha, she says, when I came with the Prophet to my house, my goat didn't have any milk because there was a drought at that place. My goat goes out, there's no rain, there's no vegetation. Animals are dying, there's nothing there for them to eat, for them to get some milk. But my goat comes back to my house and it is full of milk when it comes back to my house. Full of milk. Why? Allah loves the Prophet so much. From his birth, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him this reward. From his birth. My brother, my sister, you today, you have got the love of others in your heart. You haven't even understood who this person is. You haven't understood. When my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was in the moonlight and they looked at him, the Sahabi looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he looked at the full moon. He looked at the full moon, he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's face. That night he had a red shawl over his head. And he says, wallahi, by Allah I swear, I looked at the full moon on the 14th night and I looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's face. And I am telling you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was more beautiful than the 14th night moon. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, the women of Yusuf, when they saw the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, they looked at him in amazement and they started to cut their hands. They were cutting the fruit, but they started to cut their hands. Had they seen the beauty of my Habib, had they seen the beauty of my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my beloved husband, forget them cutting their hands, they would cut their hearts. They would cut their hearts. The beauty of the Prophet, what was it? You know, when you see a face, sometimes you're struck by that face. What is that face? My Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they say, خُلِقْتَ مِن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ مُبَرَّأَ كَمَا خُلِقْتَ كَأَنَّكَ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. O Prophet, you have been created in such a way that you are far from every imperfection. O Prophet, you have been created in such a way as if you told Allah, oh Allah, design me this way and Allah designed you that way. This is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. خُلِقْتَ مِن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ مُبَرَّأَ. There is no defect in you, O Prophet. How is it that Allah has created you? What was it about my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When you looked at my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you looked at him, he didn't only smile, his whole face smiled, my brother. His face lit up. When you met my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his whole face lit up. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't smile for a logical reason. He smiled because he loved you. He smiled because he cared for you. He smiled because he really, really wanted to please you. He smiled because Allah gave him the love in his heart of not only the Sahaba, he gave the love of you, of all the kuffar in his time, and he had the love of all the jinns in his time. He had the love of all the humans in the whole of the world in his time. He had the love of all the animals in his time. He had the love of all the creatures in his time. He had the love of all Allah's malaika. He had love for all the humans that were going to come until the day of judgment. He had love for all the jinns that would come until the day of judgment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. Who was this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You looked at him and you looked at him and he had hair that was completely dark, that was completely black. He had on his head a parting that he used to part, he used to oil his hair. And his hair was what? His hair was flicked towards the back until it came towards his earlobes. Or it came up to his shoulder blade, or it came to the end of his shoulders. That was just his hair. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hair, and I saw that there were 17 white hairs in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked, they said, Messenger of Allah, why have you got white hair? Because normally, when a man like me starts getting old, you start seeing white hair. And you wonder, beta to buru idhar, man's getting old, huh? They asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, why is it that you've got white hair? Because sometimes white hair might be seen as a weakness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودُ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. When Allah revealed Surah Hud in the Qur'an, when Allah revealed Surah Waqi'ah in the Qur'an, when Allah revealed the sisters of Surah Hud in the Qur'an, those were so catastrophic that they turned my hair white. They turned their hair, 17 hairs of the Prophet, they turned them white because of the catastrophe. His heart was such that it was always, always pumping with the dhikr of Allah, with the fear of Allah. With the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, with the fear of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at his face and he had a face that was not completely, completely round. A face that wasn't completely sharp. But you looked at a face that had a roundness to it. He had a whiteness to his complexion with a redness that was put inside there by Allah azza wa jal. A whiteness with redness. Looked at his beard, you would see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a beard that was thick. His beard, you couldn't see through it. His beard was thick, and it used to cover part of his chest, part of the top part of his chest used to cover his chest. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his nose, you looked at it, you would see that it wasn't too sharp, it wasn't too blunt. It was just made in between, and there was a bridge that was there that was slightly raised. You looked at the pupil of his eyes, it was dark. You looked at his mouth, ضَلِيعَ الْفَمْ. He had a bright and lovely wide mouth. He had a mouth that was, you know, some people when they're there and they just look at you, the lips and the mouth tell you that this person is a jolly person. This person is a person of nobility. That's how Rasulullah's mouth was. You looked at his shoulder joints, you looked at his knee joints, you looked at his elbow joints, you looked at his heels, you would see that he was very muscular. He wasn't a weak man, he wasn't a frail man, he was very muscular. They say that when they went into the battlefield, when the battle got very tough, when it got very tough and the arrows were coming towards us like a storm, towards us, we used to hide behind Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You think my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was at the back? No, no, no. He was at the front. He was at the front. Rasulullah being at the front, and what was beautiful about him? You know, when you went up to him and you wanted to hug him, you know why? Because if you got a bit of the sweat of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and that sweat went onto you, Allahu Akbar, for the rest of the day you would smell a perfume. Rest of the day, the children used to run to my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Forget the adults. Adults were crazy for him. Adults were fanatic for him. The children even were fanatic for the Prophet. Why? They used to come running to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they used to wish that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they could beat him in saying salam. No sooner did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam see them, but our Prophet was the one who said salam to them before they could say salam to him Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our Prophet was the one who said salam to him first. The children couldn't beat him in saying salam. Allahu Akbar. These days, you get, you know, our elders in the masjid, you know, the little kid coming, they wait for the little kid to come. Gelo wai, zai, dekhreni zai, zai. Salam khurena, salam khurena. Hey, what? Come over. The bade khoi bade. Where are you from? What's your dad's name? Huh? Don't see me here? Huh? Huh? Bodo, time, bizarre. Picking on little kid like that. What's wrong with him? Probably had an argument with his wife and came to the masjid. Couldn't take it on out of his wife. His wife probably, you know, kills him, licks him at home. Yeah? So he comes to the masjid to pick on little kids. I got a problem, man, seriously. What's wrong? You see a kid, my little friend, my big friend, whoever you are, you see a kid, you see a boy, you see a youngster, be the first to give him salam. This was the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Be the first to give salam. Then he will be the one who will respect you because you respected him. You want respect? Respect is not got with your hands, my friend, with your mouth, with your tongue. Respect won't come from that. Respect will come like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. He was the first to give salam. And the kids used to run to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, out of mercy, rahmatan lil alameen, the mercy unto the world. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take his palm. And what was his palm? They described his palm. His palm was such, the Sahabi says, when I touched the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when I met him, like a cushion that you put your hands onto, that's how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hand was, like a cushion. It was warm, it's like a cushion, and you know, your hand sinks into that hand. Not only that, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have these children, he used to put his palm and his hand over their head out of mercy, rahmatan lil alameen. Every child that went away from there, they used to love it because they used to say to the other children, oh, I went to the Prophet, look at my, smell my hair, look how what kind of fragrance I have on my head today. You can't buy this perfume in the marketplace. Allah. You know all these shops, they got Boots and they got everything else out there, super drugs, whatever, yeah, with all these aftershaves and whatever. You can combine all of them, you won't get anywhere near this. The auntie of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, once she was there, she saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sleeping, her nephew sleeping in her house. She couldn't resist it, but when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sleep, he used to have sweat pouring down from his forehead. And she sat there very gently with a small bottle in her hand. She was picking that, she was trying to get the sweat inside that bottle. Very gently getting that sweat inside the bottle. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he used to sleep, the hadith says what? When he used to sleep, كَانَ يَنَامْ عَيْنَاهُ His eyes are shut, وَقَلْبُهُ يَقْضَانْ But his heart is awake. Sahih hadith. عَيْنَاهُ تَنَامَانْ His eyes used to sleep, وَقَلْبُهُ يَقْضَانْ His heart is awake at that moment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wakes up and he says to his auntie, oh auntie, what are you doing? His auntie says, oh my nephew, I didn't mean to wake you up. But you know, the perfume that you have on your blessed body, we can't get that perfume anymore. We can't get that perfume anymore. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's on the battle of, he's just going to, he's in Hudaybiyah, he's trying to go to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops there. His own camel stops. Allah doesn't want him to go anymore forward. The Sahaba say, Messenger of Allah, they're in their Umrah clothing. They're in their Ihram. They brought their animals with them. They want to go inside Makkah after 6 years and do their tawaf and do the Umrah. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his own camel has stopped. They say, Messenger of Allah, what is wrong? Habasani habisul fil. The Lord who stopped the elephant from destroying the Kaaba, that Lord has stopped my camel from going forward. Now he has to wait for Allah to tell him what to do. So they stay there, they camp there for a good few days. Now there's negotiations going because they think a Sahabi, Uthman radiallahu anhu, was assassinated. They think he was assassinated. And in the end, cut a long story short, in the end what happens is they had to send their ambassador. Quraysh now sent their ambassador. Who was their ambassador? Their ambassador was Suhail. Who's Suhail? Suhail was known as the Fox of Arabia. You know the Fox of Arabia? He was the Fox of Arabia. They say if 100 men were against Suhail in a debate and Suhail was on one side on his own, he was such a politician that he could spin 100 men's heads around. That's how much of a politician. Forget Mr. Blair. Forget Obama. They need to learn from this man. This man would spin you around. So they sent their best man Suhail. When Suhail came, what does Suhail say? Suhail saw how these men were around the Prophet. He went back to Quraysh. Oh Quraysh, I have been to the kings of Persia. I have been to the kings of Rome. I have seen how they treat the kings, but I have seen someone today. I have never seen that kind of treatment, that kind of reverence before in my life. These men around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything he does, any moment he does it, they are around him to be around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, when he does wudu, the water of his face doesn't come off, but the Sahaba fighting, they're fighting for it. They're fighting to take drops of the water for themselves. This is Sahih Hadith in Bukhari. They're fighting for what? The water of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beloved body. When that water comes up, they used to go and fight for that water. Why? If they could get a bit of that water was such blessing that anyone who was ill, they used to get cured from that sickness. You know, this is just that. This is just his body. I haven't got to his heart yet. I haven't got to his akhlaq yet. When the Quraysh said, you know, every prophet has been ridiculed. Every prophet was ridiculed. And they ridiculed Nuh alayhi salam, they ridiculed Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam. Each one, you look in the Quran. When Nuh alayhi salam got ridiculed, what did Allah say? Allah said, say, O Nuh, ya qawmi, O Hud, say, ya qawmi, inni, I am not a person who is majnoon. I am not a person who is mad. I am not a person who is struck with this insanity, you're saying. Lestu bi safaha, I haven't got this insanity that you're talking about. This is what? This is when? This is when a prophet was ridiculed before Allah said, oh prophet, tell them this. When our messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ridiculed, Allah didn't say, oh prophet, you tell them, oh my people, I am not an insane person. No. Allah himself came into the defense of our prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah himself came in the defense. How? Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun. Allah says, I swear by the pen that has written all of fate until the day of judgment. I swear by that pen that I have told that pen when I created the pen first and I told that pen. O pen, you start writing and it wrote everything that will happen until the day of judgment. Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun. I swear by that pen that has written everything. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. O Prophet, O Nabi, O Muhammad, I swear by that pen that you are one. Through my gifts, through my pleasures to you, you are not someone who is a madman. You are. Allah came to the defense. Forget Allah telling the Prophet to defend himself. No. Allah came to the defense. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرًا مَمْنُونَ. O Prophet, I will give you such reward that has no limit to it. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمًا. You are a man. You are an individual, you are a blessed person who has such characteristics, that how can a person with such beautiful characteristics be a madman? How? Does a madman, is this a madman, that when you go to the madman and you jerk him hard, and he only has beautiful smiles for you? A Bedouin comes and he starts to take the Prophet by his garment. And he starts to hold the Prophet ﷺ tight. And he wants something from the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba are ready to rush this man. The Prophet ﷺ allows him to wait. And then they can only see the more harsh this man is becoming with Prophet ﷺ, the more gentle our Prophet ﷺ is with the man. And then when the man leaves, the Bedouin leaves, the Sahabi says, Messenger of Allah, why is it that you were like this? Why didn't you return his harshness with some kind of gesture like that? Prophet ﷺ said, he said, what can I do? He said, a vessel will only give out whatever it has inside it. I have only got mercy and kindness and gentleness inside me. That's only what I can give out. He ﷺ, what? When the Sahaba got to know him, you know the first thing, the face strikes you? The second thing is, they said, Man ra'ahu habahu. You looked at the Prophet ﷺ, you got scared straight away. This man is a man who used to struck awe. He used to strike awe into your hearts. Just by looking at him. Anyone who sees the dream, who sees Prophet ﷺ in his dream, any one of you who will see Prophet ﷺ in your dream, you will see him, and the first time is, a sign of knowing that you've seen the Prophet ﷺ is, the first time you see him, you will be struck with awe. You will be struck with terror. Why? Because it's a natural gift Allah gave the Prophet ﷺ. A natural gift. He says, "Utitu bi khamsin lam yu'ta nabiyyun qabli," aw kama qala ﷺ. I have been given five things which no other Prophet has been given to before me. One of those things, he said, what? He said, I have been given such awe in my that, in my personality, that my enemies fear me from 1 month of a distance away. Masiratu shahrin, 1 month's distance away, they fear the Prophet ﷺ. But they say, whoever looked at him was struck with awe. وَمَنْ خَالَطَهُ أَحَبَّهُ. Whosoever stayed close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began to love him. What kind of love are we talking about? A love that becomes such, they used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to say, "Bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulallah." My mother and my father, both of them can be sacrificed for you, O Messenger of Allah. Why? Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved them so much, he would do anything to keep them happy. He would do anything to keep us happy. Why? My brothers, you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He's lawaditu. I wish I could see my brothers, he said, in a hadith. Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, are we not your brothers, O Messenger of Allah? He said, you are my companions, my brothers, O those who will come after me. And they would wish, if one of them could sacrifice all the wealth he has, he would sacrifice everything he's got just to see me once in his life. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That is Iman. If you could right now have the chance, sacrifice your house, sacrifice your living, sacrifice everything, and you wish you could go 14 centuries back. You don't mind the sand that you live on. You don't mind the desert heat. You don't mind the rain that used to fall in the Masjid al-Nabawi. You don't mind the sweat of the Sahaba inside that Masjid on a Jummah day. You don't mind being amongst people who are frightened they could be killed tomorrow because of their enemies. You don't mind all of that. All you want to do is rest your eyes on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why, my brothers? Because he sacrificed everything for me and you. He said, what did he sacrifice? And you're going to say, what did he sacrifice for me and you? 14 centuries ago, what did he sacrifice? There he is in the valley of Ta'if when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks out. He's gone there to give them da'wah so that me and you can have iman. He's gone there so the people of Ta'if can accept Islam and can save themselves from the fire of hell. They see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gather their youth together and they say, stone this man. So they stoned the Prophet ﷺ to the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has blood coming down from his head all the way down to his toe. There he is. When they ask him, when Jibreel alayhi salam comes and he asks him, O Messenger of Allah, if you order that I tell these two angels that have got these two mountains under their control, tell me, O Messenger of Allah, Allah has sent me. If you tell me to push the mountains together, I will tell the angels. They will push them both together and I will crush this entire town. Prophet ﷺ says what? He says, I wish at that time, forget these insults, forget these caricatures, forget these cartoons of the Prophet. If Rasulullah ﷺ was alive today, he wouldn't bother about the cartoons. Now friends, listen to me carefully. He wouldn't bother about them. You're probably thinking, what? He wouldn't even, no, he wouldn't bother. They made him have blood, stoned him literally from head to toe. And he had the chance to crush them. And he said, I wish that some people from their generation would accept Islam. Let them stay alive. Let them stay alive. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns from them. Imagine, you are bloodied from head to toe. What kind of feelings would go through me and you? I went there to call them to Allah, and they made such blood. They say it was so hot that the blood came down, gathered under his feet, and it stuck his sandal to his sole of his feet. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine at that moment, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. He goes to a place where he sees some shade, and then one servant from a nearby place comes, sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Addas, he comes to him and he says, he looks at him, he doesn't know who he is. He says, here's some grapes. Do you want some grapes? He looked at the man. He thought, he's got blood all over him. He said, you want some grapes? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that moment, forget other moments. My friend, me and you, we have a small little argument, little spark, and it all sparks off. The guy basically is waiting at the traffic lights, and another guy is waiting at the traffic lights. Yep, they're sparked off. Why? Because he's got an Audi and he's got a BMW. They're sparking off. It's like, yeah, you think you're bad?
Yeah, you think you're bad.
You think you're bad? You think your car's bad? You watch how I rip you, bro. They're sparked off. No, they haven't said anything. It's like the two cars come together to the traffic lights. Yeah? They want to show each other how much they can rip the tires. How fast they can go. So they zoom off. Yeah? Try to cut in each other. That's how it started. You're going to have a road rage soon. The guy will, you know, if he cuts him too bad, he'll get to the next traffic light. The guy's coming out of his car. What's up, buddy? What's up? He's parked up. With what? With just nothing. The guy did nothing to just the BMW saw the Audi. Audi saw the BMW. There's going to be World War III. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's where? He's in Taif. He's all bloodied all over, all from head to toe. He sits there and he looks at him, and that's the moment that my Prophet smiles at this man. He smiles. He says, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is such and such. Where are you from?" He said, "I am from Nainua." He said, "You're from Nainua?" He said, "From Nainua." Now don't forget, the blood is still drying on the Prophet's face. He hasn't even washed his face yet. The blood is still on his sandals. The blood is all over his body. "You're from Nainua?" "My brother Yunus bin Matta. My brother Yunus bin Matta was from Nainua." This is the moment he just had a storm of stones all over his body. He's got wounds that are aching and paining him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at this occasion, my Prophet says, "From Nainua, you know my brother Yunus, he was a prophet and I'm a prophet too. We're brothers in prophethood." He said, "Yunus, yes, I've heard of Yunus." He said, "He was a prophet, I'm a prophet." What does the man say? And Prophet could have replied, said, "What? Who are you?" He could have, "Who are you? Give me grapes in my car. You see, give me some water, let me wash my face. Who are you? Bring me some grapes. You take it there, make out." He could have said anything. "You're from Nainua?" "My brother, Yunus bin Matta, is from Nainua." Saying that, and having that close, that smile on his face, the man says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." He went to Taif. One man only accepted Iman. One man. Through what? Through the akhlaq of the Prophet. Through the character of the Prophet. Not through any harshness. You know these guys, they see, you know, they've got this new caricature on the internet. Jesus and Mo or something, right? And it's going around viral, right? That man, Majid Nawaz or something, he's reposted that. And I don't wanna go into all of that, but they try to show all these. They call him Muhammad, they call him Mo, they call him all these other names. You know, my Prophet said, you know what, if he was alive, you know what he would say? If he was alive, you know what he would say? But let me tell you what he said when he was alive and something like this happened to him. Rasulullah is in the shade of the Kaaba. He's now a fully grown man. He's given da'wah to the Meccans. And they are looking to try and hurt him. Our Prophet is sitting there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is sitting next to him. Who's coming? The wife of Abu Lahab is coming with a whip in her hand. You know why she's coming with a whip in her hand? Because Tabbat Yada was revealed. Tabbat, you know what Tabbat Yada is? Every time you Tabbat Yada, we're reading it, we're saying about Abu Lahab going to Jahannam and his wife going to Jahannam. That's what Tabbat Yada is. She said, "Acha, what are you doing? Better hide them. Better hide their body, Maria. Let me find them, and I'm gonna rip his skin. I'm gonna rip his skin off his back." So she's got this whip, and she's walking around. She says, "Where's that Muzammam? Where's Muzammam? Where's that blameworthy? Where's that rotten guy? Where's that blameworthy guy?" And Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu is seeing her. Beti da ya beti high school marili bolu hai. High school beti de gusha utse high school beti marili. This woman's gonna kill him. So Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu says, "Messenger of Allah, Messenger of Allah, she's coming." He smiles. Says Abu Bakr, "Don't worry." He's worried. Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu is worried. She's going to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam today. So he's waiting anxiously, seeing what happens. And Rasulullah is just calmly sitting down. She comes, you know, seerah, the beautiful thing is, if you put the seerah in a proper gawali, you know, village type of way, if you interpret the seerah in that way, you can understand the seerah properly. In English, you can't understand that well. Is the English culture, "Yeah, what's up, Gav? Oh, what, Gav? Hey, man, oh, what? Yeah, have a nice day." But in the serial, it's different. In the Gav, it's different. Gav is like the guy comes up to you and says, "Salaam alaikum, salaam alaikum, salaam alaikum, balasim." The guy just knows. I'm not bari for it. Now, if he says bari, is like Biani Bazar or something. No, I haven't got anything against Biani Bazar. Bari. Please. If he says Biani Bazar or something, he says, "Acha Biani Bazar." But if the same guy said to him Bishnat, Balagunj, said to him his own, "Balagunj, Bishnat, Diva! Deshiva, Balasidhi, Deshiva, Auka, Sahai, Auka." The guy basically, he's got his own, his own sense. He knows when to do he knows when not to do it. He's got it all written inside it. When he meets his brethren from his blood tan, his broth, his blood, he wants to meet him properly. Then give him a hug. Or sometimes, they give you one hug, and then after they hear where you're from, they give you another three hugs. Just to top it up, like, "Brother, sorry, didn't know you're from the back of the woods, See, in that you can't understand. Now, if you understand that in the seerah, it's exactly the same. They say, "Kayfa haluk? Al-khair? Tamam? That's how they'll come and speak to you. So when you say, like, for example, if you're one of them, you look at him and you say, "And a Saudi, to Saudi, what to the Saudi? Saudi, how can Saudi?" And then basically, if you don't say Saudi, you're Misri, go back to Misr, go back. They don't give you no credit unless you're from them. Syria, you want to understand it, you're gonna go to the heart of the villages. You know what? I lived in Bangladesh 1 year. I tell you, that year I lived there, all the Gawali mentality, the village mentality, the proper, the desi, the paddy fields, and Albaya Aya Betaizabla Tar Gusha de Haibo. He's come from the paddy fields and he's going to show his anger to his wife. Patrikelo! Patrikelo, where's my rice? Then when you see that, oh man, you can understand the seerah when they used to come back to the homes, how they used to treat their wives. The whole seerah, you've got to understand it from there anyway. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting there. She's coming. The woman's coming. Where is he going? Kidhar gaya? Puttar ka chamda utar denge aaj. Kidhar gaya? Where is he going? Right? So she comes all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happens? Allah makes my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam invisible. Allah makes my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam invisible. So she says to Abu Bakr, hey, where's that Muzammam? Huh? Where's that blame? She's calling Muzammam, because Muzammam means what? The one who's blameworthy, one who's wretched, one who's downtrodden. Where's he gone? She's like, just look for him. So she walks away. Muzammam, Muzammam, let me find Muzammam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is smiling behind her. He says to Abu Bakr, he says, Abu Bakr, they're looking for a guy called Muzammam when my name is Muhammad. They're looking for a guy's name, he's what? Muzammam, I am Muhammad. Oh my brothers, they're making drawings of Mo. They're making drawings of Muhammad. They're making drawings of this man called Mahmud. They're making drawings of Muhammad. They're making drawings of all these other men. But my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name is Muhammad. Say it. Muhammad. Say it again. Muhammad. And all these guys out there, all the, you know, the whites, the other colors, all the colors, you know, out there, yeah? They say Muhammad. What do they say? Muhammad. Allah made this language such, he put a ha in my Prophet's name. You know how worthy that was? Because every man who's going to curse Muhammad is not going to go on my Prophet. If the guy wants to curse my Prophet, he has to learn Arabic first. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. If he wants to curse my Prophet, let them say what they want. If my Prophet was alive today, he wouldn't even bother about it. You know why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal has given him that akhlaq, that character, that in the midst of the trouble, he was a person to have that smile. In the midst of trouble, he showed his bravery. There's my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud. What happened in the Battle of Uhud? My brothers, my sisters, in the Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fell into a ditch. He fell into a ditch. This ditch was made by their enemies. They were marching forward, they were going forward, they were trying to chase their enemies. The archers at the back, they let them down, they moved away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was brought back because a sandwich came. Enemies from front, enemies from back. They came, they sandwiched the Muslims in between. And there was dust that was rising from the air. The heat was on. The sun was blazing. Swords were going from all sides. They didn't even know which way to hit because swords were coming from behind, swords in front. And in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all the dust, suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his feet fall on one of these ditches, these traps they made, and sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes into the ground. Such confusion at this time, there was only 700 Muslims only to start with. There was 3,000 enemies, 1 to 4 is the ratio. So they're coming from all sides, and the skins are getting cut under the sun. And you don't know which way you're turning. Suddenly they see a Sahabi. Which Sahabi is this? They see a Sahabi, Mus'ab bin Umair. Mus'ab bin Umair was a young Sahabi, had a beautiful face, and he had a face just a bit similar to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face. And a mushrik saw that man dead on the ground, he jumped onto the rock, and he made an announcement, he said, Muhammad is dead! And when he said that in the battleground, the Muslims thought, what? It's all over. Some of them thought, what? What are we fighting for? Some of them thought, what? Islam is finished. What? Is that the end? Could that have happened? They couldn't see the Prophet ﷺ, and they were striking all, and some fled the battlefield. Some didn't know which way they were shooting and killing. Some thought, that's it, forget it, let them kill me. Let me become shaheed. If Muhammad ﷺ is gone, what's the point of living anymore? The confusion was such that it created this mess. In the midst of all of that, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he spots the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his helmet over his head, and he's inside the ditch. And he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive! Now when he said that, the Muslims, after a moment, they got their senses back. It was like oxygen came back into their lungs. The whole head came back to reality. He's alive. So they dashed to where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was. But this was good news and bad news. Good news was he was alive. Bad news was their enemies. So that's it. He's there. He's there. They came in their tens and hundreds. Imagine how many Sahabi were here. They say about 10 Sahaba were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a few others were fighting in other places, but immediately around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was about 7 or 10. And what was his enemies doing? His enemies said, kill him, kill him, kill him. So they went, some jumped with their swords, jumped to try and get a hit on the Prophet. Some had different weapons to throw on the Prophet. Some, they were shooting arrows, some spears, some daggers. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, of them was on Anas bin Nadar radiallahu anhu, the hadith of Bukhari. Anas bin Nadar first used his sword till his sword broke. After his sword broke, he had no shield, and Rasulullah was getting attacked. So just like a goalie would put, he would basically jump and try and save a ball from going into the net. And he would do his best, doesn't matter what part of his body gets hit, at what speed, a goalie would do that for his team. This Sahabi, Anas bin Nadar radiallahu anhu, was there saving the Prophet and taking the spears into his body. Swords were coming, he put his hand out. The arrows were coming, he put his body. He jumped up, took the arrows, but not on Prophet. They say they found Anas bin Nadar radiallahu anhu after this. They found him, they said, thamanina darba. They found 80 wounds on his body. 80. He was, not only that, they had mutilated his body. They took hold of him, they cut his nose. They cut his ears. The blood was gushing all over, blood was thickened all over his face, covered with blood. No one could recognize who's who until the sister of Anas bin Nadar came and she looked at the end of one of his fingers and she looked at it carefully and she said, this is my brother who's dead on the battleground. That's how many wounds he had on his body. Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and they were around the Prophet fighting for their life, and the life of the Prophet was more important. Even a woman named Nusayba. Woman saw this. The women were what? Women were water carriers in the battlefield. Women came to the battlefield to try and aid the one who, if a soldier dropped, they would pull him, take him to a tent, and attend to his wounds. Nusayba radiallahu anha, she saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the ground. And Nusayba, she then took her shawl, her garment, she then wrapped her face, just her eyes could be seen, and they said Nusayba jumped in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on, he says, "Rahim Allahu Nusayba." May Allah have mercy on Nusayba. I looked to my right, Nusayba was there. I looked to my left, Nusayba was there. I looked in front of me, Nusayba was there. This woman fought like a man because of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She jumped in at that moment because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was getting beaten. And they managed to ward off. You know what happened? Before they warded off, one of them came with a device, with a weapon, that he struck the Prophet from, he jumped up and he struck into the hole, and this thing fell onto Rasulullah's helmet so hard that it crushed. There were spikes on the helmet. Two of those spikes, one of those spikes bent and stuck into his jaw, into his mouth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi lost two of his beloved teeth. My brothers, my sisters, he lost two of his teeth. He's there. He said, كَيْفَ يُفْلِحُ قَوْمًا شَجُّ رَأْسَ نَبِيِّهِمْ. How can a people be successful who have wounded and injured the head of their Prophet? Allah said, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ شَيْءٌ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. O Messenger, you should not judge these people. You should not rush to make a curse against them. O Messenger, it is up to me how I treat these people. Prophet ﷺ, straight away he sought forgiveness from Allah. In that moment, when he's lost his teeth, brothers, he lost his teeth for me and you. Do you know that? He lost his teeth. He was bloodied. He's in the ditch. He could die today, but he wants to do his best so that me and you can save ourselves from Jahannam. So that me and you can go to Jannah. They pull the Prophet ﷺ out. He's wounded. They hold him. They take him backwards up to the mountains. Rasulullah ﷺ sits there. He's wounded all over. And at that moment, what can you imagine? The Sahaba left his side. The Sahaba left the valley. The Sahaba broke his command. The Sahaba, some of them never listened to him. That time he should have showed his rage. But at that time Allah says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ O Messenger of Allah, because of my mercy, you are so gentle to your companions. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ If you were a hard-hearted, harsh person, then they would have dispersed from your gathering. At that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kind to them. He forgave them. He let them off. He didn't say a single word to any sahabi who left that battlefield. He didn't say anything. This is the akhlaq, the character of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did he do this, brothers? Because me and you, if one person gets iman in the Prophet's lifetime, you know how many people that is? That man gets children, maybe 3, 4, 5, 10, how many? Those children have children, those children have children, those children have children. Until the Day of Judgment, this is possibly hundreds and thousands of people from one man. My brother, you know when you see these people outside there and they need dawah, don't just look at them and think, you know, is George, is Betty, it's punk rocker, it's a gothic person, it's a person got tattoos on him, you know. Don't look at them with disgust. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That wasn't the sunnah of my Prophet. My sunnah, the sunnah of the Prophet was to look at each and every person and think, how can iman go into his heart? How can I make him be Muslim? How can I save him from Jahannam? How can I save him from having eternity in the fire? How can I do that? This was the concern, Prophet. To the extent, Allah said, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا O Messenger, O my beloved Prophet, you will perhaps destroy yourself because of the grief you have inside you. If these people don't accept Iman, because of that grief inside you, that grief hurted him so much. Allah said to my Messenger, what? فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ O Messenger of Allah, you will destroy yourself because of the tension you've got, the tension inside your mind, the hurt you've got, the worry you've got, so that these people accept Iman, you could probably kill yourself. That's how much worry he had, my friends. Today you want to sit there and say, Kafir, Kufar, Kafir, La'na. You want to do all of that? You look at the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's none of this. There's barely a moment you'll see. There's only a few riwayat about him sending lana on the non-Muslims. There's only a few narrations. My Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says what? He says what? You know when he's... I want to give you a few more narrations. Are you guys alright to listen? Who says yes, put your hands up. Who needs to go home right now, put your hands up. That's good, alhamdulillah. If you need to go, alhamdulillah, no problem, on this go. Because thing was, another sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he used to talk to his sahaba as long as his sahaba were interested. When he saw they weren't interested, he stopped. If I see some of you... if I see some of you do that, I'm finished. Yeah? But if I see some of you getting too much red eye, whatever, I'll finish. كَانَ يَتَخَوَّلُنَا He used to look at us, he used to look at our face and see how we are we interested still. And if we weren't interested, he would just simply stop. And you know what he did after that? Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, inside the masjid, you know what he did? He used to say... And I'm going to say in Bangla so you can understand. Khet girosti kila soler. You know khet is, those of you Bengali, you know what khet is? You know the field, paddy fields? What's happening in the paddy field? Rasulullah used to say, what's happening with the field? How are the plants looking? How are the crops looking this year? You know why he used to do that? Because he wanted to change their mood. And he wanted to get them. They said when we used to stop talking about hadith, he used to talk about our normal lives. What's going on in our lives. That's what the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anyway, my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in the last days of his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gets an illness that is an illness which becomes the illness that takes him away from this world. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his illness was so heavy that he used to pass out and then he used to regain his consciousness. He used to pass out and regain. It was so heavy, his heat was so much. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bring me 7 whole containers of cool and cold water that hasn't been opened. Put all of those containers on my head. They bathed the Prophet ﷺ from his head. His head was swelling with fever.
His whole body was with fever. So they put seven, this is a hadith in Muslim, seven whole containers of cool water that had not been opened, they poured it on Prophet's head. He got some relief. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes to the mimbar and he makes a speech. He says what? This days before he passes away. 3 days or 4 days before he passes away, he gives his lecture. He says what? He says, O my Sahaba radiallahu anhu, O my Sahaba, what does he say? Inni, I am a person whom Allah has shown him at this time. I can see the pool, the hawd, on the day of judgment. You know the hawd, you know what the hawd is? The hawd is a pool of a drink that Allah Azza wa Jal has given in favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is this hawd? This hawd is going to be a pool of a drink under the shade of Allah's throne on the day of judgment. All the messengers will be there, all the sahaba will be there, the disciples will be there, the siddiqeen, truthful ones will be there, the shuhada, martyrs will be there, salihin, the righteous will be there, all the good people will be there, the people who did sajda for Allah will be there, people who did wudu for Allah will be there, people who used to come to the masjid will be there, people who love for each other for the sake of Allah will be there, people who didn't go towards zina because of Allah will be there, people who gave sadaqah secretly will be there, people who had justice between them will be there, people who had good manners, good akhlaq will be there. People who used to remember Allah in secrecy and cry will be there. Allahu Akbar. You will be one of them, then try and do one of these actions. Prophet ﷺ will be there and he says what? He describes the hawd inside a hadith of Muslim. Hawdi masiratu shahr. If you want to know the distance of my pool, Allah will give me. That pool on the day of judgment Allah will give me will be the distance of one of you traveling for one whole month. Wazawayahu sawa. The corners of this will be all equal, which means it's a square. What is inside this pool? Allah's messenger says, Ma'uhu abiyad min al-warid. Its water is such that is more shiny than silver itself. Its water is white, more than whiter than milk, according to one narration. Ahla min al-asal, it's sweeter than honey. The Messenger of Allah says what? Kizanuhu kanujumis sama. The cups that are going to be on this, on the wall of this pool are going to be more than the stars in the sky. You know, you know, come and drink, you don't have to wait to the queue. There's so many cups there, there's going to be hundreds and thousands, thousands and thousands of cups, and hundreds of thousands of cups just for us to go and grab a cup and drink. Why do you want to drink this? Why do you need to be there? Because outside of this place, the whole place is baking because the sun is going to be 1 mile above people's heads. There's no shadow on this day. The only place where me and you get relief is under this shade. Only place. And he says what? Man shariba minhu, whosoever will drink a sip from this, lam yadhma ba'dahu abadan, he will never, she will never get thirsty ever again in their life. You take one sip, you will never get thirsty. Why is this? This pool is full of kawthar. What's it full of? Kawthar. You know why Allah gave kawthar to the Prophet ﷺ? They tried to say to my Prophet ﷺ, they said, he said, oh, betani, you are a kita, tarhali furin, the kifurin, you are a kun shokhti uti azani. They said, what's this man? They said, he just got daughters. Has he got any strength inside him? You know, they used to regard, even people right now in the villages, they regard a son to be strong. A son is strong, a daughter is weak. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. My friend, a daughter is your ticket to Jannah. Not many of you say subhanAllah. Huh? A daughter is a ticket to Jannah. Subhanallah. If I say the son is ticket to Jannah, subhanAllah. I'm on side of four. I got four. I got three hat-trick. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever, hadith of Bukhari, he says, whoever has two daughters, you got two daughters, ya Allah, dugufu ribiyadi tamo yu, I got to marry them off. That's what a father thinks. Some, not everyone. Yeah? Dugufu ribiyadi, ami khabaya arho betaini bo. I'm going to feed this girl, another man comes and takes her. That's the mentality, yeah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whosoever has jariyatayn, who has two daughters, and he brings them up in a good manner, good characteristics with good Islam, I will be with him in Jannah like this. And he showed two of his fingers like this. I will be with him like this in Jannah. Sahih hadith of Bukhari. Daughters you have, it's a strength. More daughters, more strength. Alhamdulillah. So they looked at the Prophet and they said, what's this man? Who is he? Oh, kone yara. Koi beta hi nahi uske. Koi putra hi nahi uske. Doesn't even have a son. What kind of man is that? You know who made this accusation? A man who had, you know how many sons? He had 10 sons. Doshku hua tha. Doshku 10. The guy thought, yeah, you mess with me. 10 sons, man. Get through them, then you come to me. My sons will do their job, you know what I'm saying? Man? The man made an accusation against that Prophet ﷺ and he vilified him. You know how? He said, oh, he made such a bad, bad remark about Prophet ﷺ. He said, in Bangla you will understand. He said, Igurtu lengur hata. Lengur hata. He said, his tail is cut off. He ain't got a tail. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Straight away Allah said, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. O Messenger of Allah, don't be grieved. Don't be grieved in your heart. I have given you kawthar in return. I've given you this pool. From there, all those people will drink who will come next to you. From there, people will drink and never be thirsty ever again. From there, people will drink and the same kawthar will be in Jannah. Allah will put kawthar also in Jannah. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. I have given you kawthar. I have given you kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. So pray and show your sacrifice for me. Give your sacrifice. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Your enemy who said this to you, I have just cut his tail off. I said, Allah said, I have cut his tail off. You know what happened? That enemy had doshkubatan. Yeah? One by one, yeah? His one son gets ill here. Hey, turkito wilaveda. That son just dies. Another one, ill, dies. Another one dies. Another one dies. Hey, get away. Hey, what's happening here? Die. I think the last couple of them, a lion came and ate them. Now he had 10 sons, he had no one left. Allah said, wait, you vilify my prophet, I will show you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3, 4 days before his death, he's on the minbar with a fever in his body. He says, oh Sahaba, I can see this pool in front of my eyes. Allah has shown me the pool of the Day of Judgment in front of my eyes. You Sahaba, if you want to meet me on the Day of Judgment, come next to the pool on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They were concerned. Tears are flowing from their eyes. كَأَنَّهَا مُوْعِدَةٌ مُوَدِّرٌ. As if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling them, I'm going to leave you from this earth. They are concerned, they said, before this, not on this day, they said before this, Messenger of Allah, we are with you on this earth, how will we find you on the Day of Judgment? How will we find you on the Day of Judgment? They are ready to sacrifice their parents for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, have you seen a black ox with some white hair on it? They said, yes, sir, Messenger of Allah. Are you easily able to identify the white hair from the rest of the black hair? They said, yes, Messenger of Allah. Thus, on the Day of Judgment, because of the wudu you are making, I will see you as white individuals in a sea of black people. Allah. My brother, Salah, you're missing Salah. You know what you're missing? You're missing your identity on the Day of Judgment. You're missing your passport on the Day of Judgment. You're missing your whole face because you're going to be black like the rest of them, black. If you're black in this world, you think, Ya Allah, you know, shukur Allah, kintu kisu goshay, ya Allah. Kirim laga, kirim. Kirim makhaite, makhaite, ateleva. These guys, honestly, you know, especially our sisters, they think that we're going to judge them. So what they do, Ya Allah, powder, ruda, diya. So much powder. She, on her day that you're supposed to come and do sinifan. You know sinifan, you're talking about? Before a wedding, you're supposed to come and see her. So you know what our sisters, you know what our aunties are asthma as well, you know. They come up to her, they'll just put their hand on their neck and go shy back. See, igur kala tika sidi. Igur gordonar with the kidnapping. They rub them. Because they put all our whiteness on them. Why do they put it for? Because they want to be seen as a bit more white. And in this world, Allah has made it such that the darker you are, you're like, you know, you start jumping to the second class, third class, fourth class, whatever. Allah just made it like that. But you don't have to feel like that, bruv. If you're dark, doesn't matter. Allah's going to bring your face on the Day of Judgment according to your heart on the Day of Judgment. And that day when you come up, you know, the one of the greatest individuals I want to see on that day is I want to see the man whom Rasulullah said to him. He said, Oh Bilal, he said, Oh Bilal, bima sabaqtani ilal jannah. Oh Bilal, last night I went to Mi'raj and I went into Jannah. Oh Bilal, how did you beat me in going to Jannah? I want to meet that Sahabi. I want to see him. You know, if you're looking for a black Bilal on the Day of Judgment, you're looking for the wrong face. Bilal radiallahu anhu will be beaming with whiteness like the full moon on the 14th night. All the Sahabi, doesn't matter what color they had, all the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin, oh my brother, you are praying in the masjid. Allah will make your face beam with light on the Day of Judgment. The angel will pick you, bring you next to the Arsh Azim. And Allah says, Allah's Messenger says what? He's on the mimbar, he says, My Sahaba, if you want to come to me, he said, don't fight. La yaduribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'din, let not one of you strike another one's neck with a sword. Don't fight with one another. You will be able to be with me on the Day of Judgment under the arsh. My Prophet, I'll just spend a few more minutes and then finish here. My Prophet said what? He said, Ana sayyidul awwaleen wal akhireen. I am the leader of the first and the last. Ana sayyidul thaqalain. I am the leader of the jinns and the ins and the humans and the jinns on the Day of Judgment. Ana awwalu man yarfa'u ra'sahu yawm al-qiyamah. I'm the first man to lift his head on the Day of Judgment. Wa Musa mu'allaqun bil arsh. And Musa will be already holding on to the arsh of Allah. Because Musa alayhi salam already fainted once. That's why he will not have been struck like that. I will be the first to raise my head on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be at the hawd of my brother. You want to be next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to do one thing with Allah has said in the Holy Quran. If you don't have the love of Allah, you can't come next to the Prophet. And the love of Allah is what? What's the doorway to the love of Allah? Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Oh my Messenger, tell the whole of the world, tell mankind until the Day of Judgment, tell all the people that will read this Quran, tell them, if you want to know, if you really have the love of Allah, then you must follow my sunnah in this earth. You must follow my sunnah, you must follow my ways. Like he has a miswak, you have a miswak. He had a good beard, you try and have one. He had, you know, good akhlaq, more than the beard, more than any of that, the akhlaq, the heart, the ways he showed, you try and follow his ways. The more you will follow the ways of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more of Allah's love you will get, and that is the doorway of being next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. And you come to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what? My brother, you come to Prophet on the Day of Judgment, forget anyone else. You know, right now, the young brothers, young sisters, they look outside there and they see certain models. You know, they see these billboard adverts. The guy is like, basically, he's shaven with a bit of a stubble. It's like, yeah, I'm cool, you know, I'm cool. You gotta look like me, man, I'm cool. He's got a shirt, his top is open, like showing part of his chest. Got a chain there, you know. He's just looking at, oh, it's a hot day. I'm just waiting for her, you know. And she's looking the same as well. Her hair's all blown out, dry, you know, in the summer, you know, sun. And she's just looking like, as if she's looking in thin air. Where is he? You know, that's the role, that's it. If I can look like that guy, if I can look like that girl, that's it. I've made it. What are they wearing? Are they wearing some Marks and Spencers? They're wearing this shirt. They're wearing from this shop. They're wearing from that shop. I better get the same thing. You want to look like them? Allahu Akbar. Look at them, celebrities on your TVs, on your phones, on your mobile phones, on YouTube. You see them scoring goals. Say, yeah, I want to be like him. Yeah, you imagine you can spend a whole lifetime. You can't kick like him, my friend. Allah gives that quality to certain people. You can do what you like. You love them, fine. You love them. On the Day of Judgment, my friend, all of those people, most of those you saw as your role models, pop stars, others, they're going to be outside in the heat, brother. Heat. Baking, roasting. Yeah? They're going to be temperature out there, forget the temperature, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of degrees going to be out there. They're going to be roasting out there. You want to get in coolness, then you better find Rasulullah as your role model. Because on that day, you know the celebrities? Forget that. You know, I say this. On the day of judgment, bruv, there's no democracy. Democracy! Or your election of to, election of leami, sharma no, kitama to. Like when the election happens, I want to be chairman, I want to be secretary. That's all I want to fight for. Sorry to come to them, it's not to you, yeah? This is to all the secretaries in the whole country, except for you lot inside the masjid. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You inclusive as well, yeah? Whatever you are. Doesn't matter. To all the secretaries, to all the treasurers, to all the chairmen, no insult to you, it's to all of them throughout all our masjids. Yep? He wants to be a big man. It's like, yeah, if I'm a big man, then, you know, everyone gives me respect, yeah? You know, you want to see the big man on the Day of Judgment? It's going to be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's going to be Sayyidina Nuh, Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Isa, alayhim salatu wasalam. You want to meet the likes of Sayyidina... Imagine going there, seeing Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Allah Akbar, Sayyidina Abu Huraira, I heard your hadith. Allah Akbar. You see Ammar ibn As, I heard you got struck by those enemies who are outside there right now. Allahu Akbar. I was also struck, you know, you were struck by those enemies out there. I lived in Britain, you know, in 2014. You know, they call us like fundamentalist. They called you something else, they called me as well. You know, don't worry, we're brothers. Alhamdulillah. Imagine meeting them. Imagine showing them, you know, you took the stone on your stomach, Bilal. You know, I took some beats, you know, I went to Oldham, some town centre, and they pelted me. I just ran, like, you know. Imagine you're able to see them, you know, a conversation you would have, Allahu Akbar, this is a feast with the best of the best on the Day of Judgment. You want to be with them? Do your wudu, bruv. You want to deal with them? Get on the praying mat and start praying. You're a salah, I ain't got no time for salah. What's wrong with you? The Allah that gives you time, you have no time for him? Allah that gives you time, no time for him. Yeah, Allah, give me. Sort it. I'm living, innit? I'm living, man. Blood, you know? That's what he thinks. Looks in the mirror, and he comes, his hair like, Imne khutubah khutin, umne khutudin, himne khutudin, shaving khutudin. Whatever wants, he was shaves it here, shaves it there, spikes it there, does that. You know, but if you've got a hairstyle like that, I've got nothing against you. But you've got to understand one day, yeah, you're going to end up like Boldilocks. And the three hairs. That's all you're going to have. You're going to look in the mirror and say, hey, sulho gula be. You're going to wear a hat. You're going to wear a mama to cover your head, babe. Because you're going to be Boldy. You think it's going to last for a lifetime? While your hair is there, try and keep the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While your energy is there, get onto the prayer mat. You don't have time for Allah. You don't want to do your wudu. You don't do all that salah and all that. Allah giving you car. Your car is more important. Your mobile more important. Your WhatsApp is more important. Your Facebook more important. Your Twitter is more important. Your girl is more important. Your drugs are more important. Your life is more important. Your streets are more important. And Allah gives you, feeds you, and waits until you come back to Him. Before he returns you better return back to him. So my brothers, what I'm saying is, you want to be next to the celebrity on that day. You want to hug these people. You want to hug them. You want to, you know, the sweat that the Sahaba used to love from coming from Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the sweet smell. Allahu Akbar, you want that? I want to. And who wants to put your hand up? Hug the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Day of Judgment. You want that? You know what you're going to do, brothers? You know what, sisters? You know what you're going to do? You got to act like the Prophet. You got to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You got to try and learn his hadith. You got to try and say, well, how was he? I want to be the same. I want to have the same characteristics. I want to have the same akhlaq. And on that day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says what? He says, on the Day of Judgment, all the prophets would not go in front of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in fact, I'm going to give you a time. I'm going to give you a deadline now. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to get me off this minbar today. Yeah, I need to get back to London tonight as well. Yeah, so I'll give you a deadline. 9:30 according to that clock there. No, are there this nothing? You know, the thing is, you know, ikhtilaf. You know, the difference of opinion. The clocks in the masjid even have ikhtilaf. One says 23, one says 24. But by that clock there, which is more or less the same, I'll go. 9:30, that's it. Khalas, is that okay? Then we're finished. No more, we're not going anymore. So what happens is, on the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, all the prophets will not go forward. They will come to Sayyidina Nuh, Sayyidina Adam, Sayyidina Musa, Ibrahim, Isa alayhi salatu salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim. They'll say, please go and ask Allah to open their accounts. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I am the one in the end, I will get up. The people will come to me, I will get up and I will go forward and I will go to maqamam mahmuda. I will go to the station of praise. Allah will not say anything to him. Allah will not say anything as he steps forward. He will go there and he will go into sujood. When he goes into sujood, Allah will keep him there until Allah will say, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, raise your head. Irfa ra'sak, raise your head. Qul, just say and I will listen to you. Washfa tu shaffa, O Messenger of Allah, you just make an intercession and I will accept whatever you say, O Messenger of Allah. I will accept whatever you say. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, oh Allah, open the accounts for these people. And Allah will open the accounts. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is back under the arsh. The accounts are open. People are going forward, one by one, one by one. Oh my brother, oh my sister, you want to be in amnesty, you better be with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out, he will come out with a flag in his hand that will be known as Liwa'ul Hamd. Allah will give him a flag and that flag will be known as the flag of praise. My messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your messenger praised Allah so much that he will gain the flagship of Allah's praise. Oh my brothers, praise Allah and you will be with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he goes in front and he starts to go towards Jannah, there will be 70,000 people that will be following him to Jannah. Then Allah will make another 70,000 follow them, the first 70,000 to Jannah. Then Allah's mercy will make another 70,000 follow the first two 70,000s to Jannah. Then Allah will then take His Rahmah hand, His hand of Rahmah, not a little hand, His hand of Rahmah, Allah will take it and Allah will scoop up three whole scoops from the Day of Judgment. He will say, out of my generosity, out of my mercy, all of you go with the Prophet to Jannah. Allah. Ukasha radiallahu anhu, he heard the Prophet, he said, he got up and he said, Messenger of Allah, udu'ullah, yaj'alani minhum. Oh, Messenger of Allah, make dua that I be one of those who goes with you. Allah says, Allah's Messenger says, he said, oh, Ukasha, you are from them. Another man gets up. Which was this man? This another man gets up, and this man is a munafiq. This man is a hypocrite. He there's an opportunity. By Kharawile, Dori Dori Zemgi, I'll grab him and I'll just go. He got up and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, make dua that I become from them as well. Now he's a munafiq. How can the Prophet make dua? He just made dua for Ukasha. What's he going to say? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at his hikmah, his wisdom. He could have said, Naba Tumina. Tumina Huya. How can he say, not you? How can he say that? Look at that. Look at the hikmah, look at the wisdom. He says, Sabaqaka bihi Ukasha. Ukasha beat you to this dua. Ukasha beat you to this dua. Ukasha got it. There was one chance he got it. Sit down. You're not going anywhere, bro. Sit down. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go towards Jannah, he says, Ana awwalu man yaqra'u bab al-jannah kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am the first one who will knock on the door of Jannah. I'm the first one that will knock on the door of Jannah. Jannah will not be happy until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam steps inside. When he steps inside, the messengers will step inside. Then the Sahaba will step inside. The disciples will step inside. The 70,000 will step inside. The three scoops will step inside. When they go in and they all go running towards the palaces, they'll be running towards the houses, they'll be running towards the hurrain, they'll be crazy to see what Allah has created for them. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come straight out of Jannah. He will come back to Maqam and Mahmuda. He will put his head onto the ground again for Allah knows for how long till Allah says, oh Muhammad, lift your head up. Oh Muhammad, just speak and I will listen to you. Oh Muhammad, just say and it will be heard. Oh Muhammad, make an intercession and I will accept that intercession. He will say, Ummati, 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 Ummati. On the day when everybody will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, myself, myself, what will happen to me? What will happen to me? When me and you will be selfish on that day, will say that. He will say, oh Allah, ummati, ummati, my ummah, what's going to happen to my ummah dropping into hellfire, my ummah are going to Jahannam, my ummah dropping into there and I can't do anything about it. Allah will say, whoever's got this much iman, oh Muhammad, go there, the angels will take them out of Jahannam. He takes them out, he goes to Jannah. Then my Prophet ﷺ goes into Jannah, delivers them into Jannah. Then Rasulullah ﷺ crosses over the bridge again. He comes to Maqam al-Mahmuda, puts his head onto the ground again. Allah says, "Oh Muhammad, lift your head up, just say, I will listen to you. Just speak and it will be heard. Just make your intercession be heard." Rasulullah ﷺ then says, "Oh Allah, ummati, 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 my friend. You know who? For you, ummati, for me. Ummati, ummati, my ummah." Allah says, whoever has this much iman, take them. Then we share whoever has this much iman. He'll go back and forth. Until Allah will say what? Allah will say, whoever has an atom's weight of iman in his heart, I will tell the angels to take them out of Jahannam. You know, me and you, my brothers, my Prophet will do so much for us. And you don't even love him that much that you can study his seerah. Look at a hadith. Look at his beloved words. Look through the eyes of the Sahaba. Listen to the ears of Sahaba. Be in his presence. See what he says for you. Why he made his sacrifices for you and me. You can't even do this much that save yourself from Jahannam. When he sacrificed his life, he will sacrifice his dunya, he sacrifices the akhirah, he sacrifices this world, he sacrifices the next world, just for me and you, to follow his sunnah, save ourselves from Jahannam. Brothers, do you make an intention? You will do your best to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, inshaAllah. Jazakumullah khair wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.